So I know we're a little late on this, but all I'm going to say is that Daft Punk was still together when Trump was president.
Jesus Christ. Daft Punk was still together. These words are true.
Yeah. I mean, their last album was like, I don't even think he was president.
Sure, they weren't making music.
Like, yeah, irrelevant.
The entire
though.
Obama administration.
You know.
But get that's lucky, just semantics.
Still, Get Lucky is still the song of the summer.
Yeah,
wasn't that the original song of the summer joke? Or was that Despacito?
I think it was Get Lucky. Cause yeah. I think it was before Despacito was kind of recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, Get Lucky was the song of the summer. That song is fucking good.
Yeah. Man.
That song deserved being the song of the summer, for sure.
Pour one out. Legends of the Craft. They had helmets, which was cool.
We never learned what they looked like.
No. I mean, I think you could probably find it, but I'm going to choose not to, you know? It's like spoiling, you know, the end of a book. It was like when Wint got doxxed. Drill. Someone doxxed him. Like the.
What do you mean dox? What does this word mean?
Like they revealed his like identity.
Somebody revealed Wint's identity.
Yeah. But it's like you can't. It's better just not to look it up. You know.
Oh yeah, it ruins the whole point.
The information is out there, but. Why look it up, you know? It's one of the few sacred things we have.
I would never want to know Wint's identity. It would ruin
who
everything.
I
want to know, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't.
Right. Yeah, it's like who Wint is and then what Daft Punk looks like. Those are the two sacred things.
The two things that bind our society together.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had a Daft Punk phase in, like, middle school. I think it aged well.
I think it did. I think their music is like renowned as like good music now.
Yeah.
Not just like pop.
And, you know, I listened to some stuff after they announced maybe people don't know this, but they announced their disbandment of times. It kind of, you know, since in the weeks of the past, the days week has passed, it sounds like it was kind of a more of a retirement than like them breaking up. I mean, they've been at it for a while, so yeah, this, their stuff, it's still good, that early stuff especially, because that's the stuff I was more familiar with. But yeah, pour it out to Daft Punk and their pyramid stage thing.
Also, like, I mean, great music, also just a great name for a band.
Great name, mm-hmm. Great name, and like they... Great name, and like they just got like the image down, you know. I mean, like the helmets are just like so iconic.
They're iconic.
Yeah, and like other acts have now done helmet stuff, but it feels they were kind of the first to go full helmet.
First to go full helmet, and you do want to go full helmet.
You go full helmet. Yeah, great stuff. Their live album Alive, 2007, I believe is what it's called, is like one of my favorite live albums, probably maybe my still favorite live album. I mean, there's not a lot of live albums I listen to now, that's now I'm thinking about it, so that's probably at least it's probably pretty high up there,
probably top three at least.
Yeah it's by default, so yeah, great stuff. And it's a shame we won't get to see him live. Thanks, Joe Biden.
I didn't realize thanks, Joe Biden. I didn't realize how like important they were to everybody until they retired, and like everybody had like a collective like, oh my god, they're retired.
Yeah. They were just fun, and their live shows
they were huge.
Like, the live shows were something to behold. I wouldn't know, but you know, everyone says that. But they really hadn't done like a big world tour in a long time. Anyway, I don't feel like I missed out, because I don't feel like I really had a solid opportunity.
A chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. But anyway, Daft Punk. The only good friends people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're honorary, not French. Honorary, I wouldn't say honorary Americans, because that's not much better, but just honorary, not French.
I know, I was just thinking about how they're like firemen just like sprayed down police lines at protests last summer, and I'm rethinking my French takes.
You're right. Actually, like this past year, the French have kind of been awesome.
Yeah, they're just lighting cop cars on fire. You know,
they like protest and riot for fucking nothing.
They're the best. The world champs at it. They're so good at rioting.
They're so good at rioting. It's incredible.
They get shit.
It's like a hobby for them.
They get shit from their protests. Because
that dude, because yeah, they strike like a functioning fear. Society because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, the firemen started fighting the police last summer. That was awesome. That was so funny.
That was fucking sick. That was like of such a great moment.
Yeah. Well, those are some things about the French, and Daft Punk are French. So there you go. This is episode 103 of the Noah and Eric Show. We are back once again. We have another six pack for you. This week is double albums, which is a thing. Is become a little. I don't know what the right word is. It's a little bit of an ambiguous term more recently, you know?
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, that's not, albums aren't really a thing. I think it really originated from, like, vinyl, right?
Yeah, it's when you couldn't fit all the music on one disc of vinyl, so they needed to print out two.
Yeah, but now, you know, it's kind of just, I guess we'll talk about it a little more, but yeah, double album, six pack. I guess we could talk about it now. So like,
I gotta ask.
Go for it.
Do you know what the first rock double album was?
I mean, I have a guess, but. No, I'll say no.
What's your guess?
My guess is it just the White Album?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde.
All right, well.
That's right, Bob Dylan.
Here we go. All right.
Little fact. Bob Dylan made the first double album.
I put my list together. My normal process for six packs is like I kind of just put like not even in order. Like I'll just like list things of the category that come up to me at the top of my head, and then I'll Google like internet lists, you know, to see if I make sure I don't miss anything. And I saw like a one that came up frequently is that very Bob Dylan album, and I just did had a brief sigh to myself because I knew what this episode was going to become. But that's okay. So how did you struggle to define a double album? Because it has become harder to define as the years have gone on.
It has. How I did it was like I went through my albums I have on my phone, and if it like ran long past like 60 minutes, I would just go on Amazon and see what the vinyl was, and did it come with two vinyls or one vinyl, and
that's
like that's how
smart.
I made my decision.
That's a more thorough process than I went through.
It took me like 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I basically, if I found it on a double album list of some kind, I felt good adding it. That was my only basis, is like someone had to name it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but they're all long.
But there's a couple on here that wouldn't be on any list, so I had to find a new way to like verify.
That's smart. I mean, there's a couple that I was gonna include only as like honorable mentions that I could not verify on a list, so I did not include them. except for one. But we'll get to that one.
I gotta ask, what is your opinion on double albums?
They're usually, you know, it's like I like a lot of them, but they're, in my head, they're usually not my favorite. I don't know. I feel like it's hard to make like a concrete, I like albums that are like a concrete thing, you know, and double albums are just kind of often, I mean, even like this is exemplified by the White Album, which I'm sure we will talk about more later, but like it's just kind of a, it's a mishmash of a whole bunch of stuff that they couldn't fit onto one album. And I feel like that's often the case.
Yeah.
So,
I agree. I think, like, I'm genuinely against double albums.
Okay.
I think, like, for the most part, it doesn't need to be a double album.
Yeah.
You could just cut half the songs and make an incredible, like, just normal album. Just a rocking fucking album. But you decided to add them all and make a really good double album.
Yeah.
No, and I think I'd prefer quality over quantity in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. That's generally my feel. Or even, like, yeah, if you just, like, reduce down the best songs and made a great single, you know, regular album, and then, you know, rework the other stuff into, you know, to their own thing down the line.
Yeah, you could just put out two albums, and one's great, one's less not as great. Or you could do, like, a release it. I guess it wasn't really a thing, but, like, now it's a thing where you release an album twice a few years later with a bunch of bonus tracks, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're kind of on the same page there. Do you have any other thoughts on the double album process? It is weird now because you can just... I mean, you can have an album that's like 60 plus minutes, and I might technically not be a double album because you just don't do the vinyl or whatever. And CDs can do that. So, yeah.
It's definitely like a thing of the past.
Yeah. I don't see why you would do one today in this day and age because of that very thing you just mentioned with like the bonus track stuff, you know?
Yeah. There's one on it that like is more modern that I have that there a couple that like makes sense of why they did it the way they did it. Yeah, like a concept album, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I have one. I have an honorable mention. That's I guess I believe early 2000s. But all right, okay, let's get into it. What is your sixth double album?
Out of the Blue by Electric Light Orchestra.
I'm surprised. This is one I saw on a lot of lists. I like it. I just was surprised you put it on your list.
I fucking love ELO.
Okay.
I think ELO.
I just didn't know if you were an ELO. You'd either be an ELO person or very much not an ELO person. So
that is very correct. Yeah, dead on. I think they're fantastic. They just make finely crafted songs. Or not they. It's really just, what's his face?
I don't know the dude's name.
But this album fucking slaps, dude. Like, the first half of it, I think they probably could have cut three or four songs and made a single album, and it would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect album. There are only a few perfect albums. And it would, but, like... It goes like 6, 7, 8 songs deep before it like it has a single, not even like a jamming track.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Mr. Blue Sky, which is a jam. But I love ELO, man.
I didn't know that. So yeah, okay, that's right off the board. I was a little concerned our list would be too similar, and they might be as we get later on, unless you came out hot again. No. Okay.
I came out hot today.
All right. Well, that's good, because I didn't, so that's good that we won't be talking about the same album twice. For my sixth, I did All Eyes on Me by Tupac.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's a great... There's, like, one... this is one of those things, double albums. There's one song on it that's the worst song ever made, and every other album is, like, good to great.
The White Album's like that, too.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So in that respect, it's just all the songs are good. Like there's except that one, which is literally the worst song ever made. That you could just
what song is it?
It's like, What's Your Number? I think it's I'll find the actual name. I'm pretty sure it's called What's Your Number. It is they chose a weird sample for it, and it's like this weird jazz offbeat thing. I think they tried to get experimental, and it just didn't work. And then, it's What's Your Number, Yeah, what's your number? It's the last song on the first disc or whatever. And it's terrible. It's honestly so bad. But every other song you just shuffle and it's good to great. So, I mean, California Love's on that, Ambitions as a Writer. Yeah.
Do you shuffle albums? Like, when you listen to an album, you hit shuffle?
No. But I'm just saying, like, on this one, like, you could just, you know, put them in a hat, and that was okay, the point okay, I was getting cool. at. No,
I got nervous for a little bit. I was about to crucify you.
No. I mean, if you were to do that, this would be the type of album to do it to.
Yeah.
Just because they're all, like, you know, jams. Just, like, laid-back jams. But, no, I don't do that. I was just, that was more, okay. The point I was making was, like, you know, put them in a hat, minus that one, and...
I know we're not at fuck this thing right now, but like, fuck people who do that. If you're going to listen to all the songs on an album, don't hit shuffle. Just listen to it the way it was supposed to be listened to.
Would you shuffle the scenes of a movie?
Exactly. It's
blasphemy.
Ludicrous.
It's absolute blasphemy.
Like, if you want to listen to Tupac and, like, all of his songs, sure, shuffle his songs.
Yeah. If you just want to listen to, like, a few songs.
To a specific album,
right.
Ah, Jesus Christ. Those people are just... I cannot understand them, mm-hmm. and I don't want to try.
I don't want to find common ground on this issue. what's your fifth?
My fifth is... I said I was getting bold. This is not going to be bold. It's Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan. Okay. The first double album.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Tell more.
Fun fact. an added fun fact. So Bob Dylan was put this album out in May, and Frank Zappa and whatever his band is called put out a double album like a couple months later, not knowing Dylan was doing that before him.
Mm. Do you know what year this was?
67, I think.
Okay, I can pull that. Yeah, because I know the Zappa one came up a lot in my research. Do you like Zappa? I feel like I should, but I just haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way too. Like I get it. You know, I'm listening. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is not my thing, but
yeah,
or like it even just kind of could be, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those he's one of those artists like on paper I should like a lot, but I just never got into.
But Blonde on Blonde is a excellent album, and. It's an album of Dylan, like, he's gone through so many phases in his career. You know, folk, you got rock, you have his early 70s stuff, his mid-late 70s stuff. It is his only album that sounds unique to itself compared to anything else he put out. It's such a unique album in that way. And there's just a lot of fucking jams on it. Like, it wouldn't make my top five Dylan albums, but there's a lot of jams that, like, when I, like, go through the track list, it's like, yeah, I Want You is a great song. Visions Johanna, one of his best songs. It's got a vibe to it, you know? And it's also, like, why the hell did he name it Blonde on Blonde? I have no idea, because it's obviously just a sexual reference.
Yeah. There's no song called Blonde on Blonde?
No, there's no song. I don't think there's any lyric that references it, as far as I know. And I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I listen to Dylan.
I would believe you. I would trust your judgment. Or your Dylan you know, facts. Yes, yeah, so I looked up, 66 came out. Funny enough, because I'm just like going on, I'm browsing through the Wikipedia. He released Bob Dylan's greatest hits in 1967.
Did he really?
I mean, I'm sure there's more than one, but he released one in 1967.
That's wild to think. Because, I mean, he had more than enough songs to do that. Mm-hmm. But he also arguably hasn't put out his best album yet.
Yeah. And he just released an album like last year, right?
Yeah.
So,
with a like a 12-minute song about the JFK assassination.
He needs to update it. You know, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, so yeah, Blonde on Blonde came out in 66. That is yeah. Yes. You know, you're the Dylan Whisperer.
I fucking love Dylan. He's so good.
I'm surprised it was this low, but that intrigues me for what's to come.
Oh, get excited, let me tell you.
Number five. This is where I put Physical Graffiti by Zeppelin.
I was curious. This is lower than I thought it would be.
Really?
I left this off because I knew you were going to include this one. Okay. For sure.
Yeah, no, it's Zeppelin and it's good. I guess maybe I put it lower than it should be because it's just not my favorite Zeppelin out. I just usually listen to other ones because it's so long.
That's probably why Blonde on Blonde was so low for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, In My Time of Dying is like one of my favorite Zeppelin songs. I just lost a Custer Pie, House of the Holy, like.
Yeah, let's forget House of the Holy is on that.
Yeah.
So confusing. I kind of like it though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the thing about Physical Graffiti, like one reason I left it off is because. I knew you were going to include it, but also it's another one like. If they just took the best songs from this album and made a single album, that album would be fucking slapping. That would be like close to Zeppelin 4.
Yeah. Well, Kashmir's on this, which is one of their popular songs. Yeah.
I love the Wonton song.
That's a good one. I like some of their like folk stuff. Like, I know that's not why you listen to Zeppelin, but I like when they throw in those, like, 2-minute, like, where Paige just does, like, a folky thing. And this one...
It's a good, like,
Yeah.
It's, like, a good, like, when you're, like, going wine tasting and they give you, like...
Yeah.
Like, a thing to, like, cleanse in between.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. They definitely could have condensed it into, like, an all-time... But, I mean, it still was, like, it's still incredibly well-received, so I don't know. All right.
My number four.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this?
Oh God, he's taking a sip of his beer.
No, it's not. Wait until later. Okay. This is a legit good album. It's Good Kid, Mad City.
Oh, okay. So okay, this one. This is one I considered, but I didn't see it on a list, and I did not look to see if it was. I did not look to see if it was sold as two vinyls. But yes, this is.
It is sold as two vinyls.
Incredible album.
Yeah. It's as good as, like, it is in many ways the 21st century's Bob Dylan, Kendrick Lamar.
No, this is a take. Okay. I mean,
and I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to elaborate on the take at all.
You shouldn't. I mean, Kendrick's amazing. So.
I mean, they're both, like, very, yeah, they're both the best song, like, lyrical writers of their time, I think.
Both influences to David Bowie?
Is Kendrick Lamar an influence to David Bowie?
Didn't he say To Pimp a Butterfly was one of his influences to Black Star?
Oh, it sounds very David Bowie to say.
Yeah, I think he said that. So,
But Good Kid, Mad City is a fucking incredible album.
That was
so many songs
good.
That just like defined our high school experience
and college
and like okay. college experience
yeah. When did it
I guess out? It was mostly college.
It came up in like 2000 mid 2007.
No, I think wait, that's the deluxe version.
Oh wait, no, it wouldn't have been. Oh, when did it come out? Do you have it up? I'll try and find it.
Well, in a moment. 2013. There's no way.
I see 2012.
2012. That feels more like it.
Yeah, that would have been
our. Because it was at least senior year we were listening to Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe.
That's one of those albums that, like, you know, at one point or another, there's like those albums where, like, one song will be huge, and then, like, that artist will have another song go huge, it seems like a few months later, and then like another one, you realize they're all on the same album. That this is one of those albums for sure. Like all of
this
those
is
songs
one of those albums.
Are classics. I was listening to that album the other day.
That
I did not realize
something.
It was
have
a double
you listened
album,
to...
or it would have been on the list.
Have you listened to the podcast that like deep dives into iconic rap albums?
I have not.
Oh, dude, have you heard of it?
No, I need to. What is?
I'll look it up and let you know what it is later. You would love it. And his first season goes into this album, and it's like it makes you like appreciate the album even more. Like he like deep dives into the lyric, like everything, the history of Kendrick Lamar, the history of each song. Like it's up. It could be a perfect album.
It's very good. I have a funny thing, the song Mad City, I saw performed live by Schoolboy Q, because Schoolboy Q is the one who yells yawk 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 in the beginning, so he did it at his concert and it was awesome.
You're so fortunate.
I know. It was great. 10 out of 10.
I have a friend who, when he was in college, before like Kendrick got big, Kendrick was going to like touring colleges, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was like, oh, I don't need to go to this concert. and then he just blew up and it's like, oh, God damn it. My chance to see Kendrick Lamar.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's a great fucking album. And I'm disappointed that I didn't put in the research. I honestly didn't even think of it. It's not even I was lazy. I was just like, I don't know how to, you know, these modern albums. Like, I don't know how to double check. But that was smart. All right, that's a great pull. That was your fourth?
That was my fourth. And it's only getting better from here.
Oh, I'm excited now. my fourth is Electric Ladyland by Hendrix. It's his like most I don't even know if experimental is the right term, but it's like it's most like psychedelic, I guess, right? Like it's most as opposed to just pure blues. And I like it. There's a lot of bangers on it. Hendrix only made like a few albums, so you know, and they're all classics. So
yeah. And it's like, when I listen to Hendrix, it just blows my mind. Like, he did that shit in, like, the 60s.
Yeah. And like his career was
like,
so short.
I love the Beatles, but he was doing that when, like, the Beatles were putting out Yellow Submarine. And he comes out with, like, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. His career was so short. He put out all three of his... Well, he put out all four of the studio albums he put out were the first one was in 67, the last one was in 70. It was like 3 years.
I wonder what he would have done, because like he would have evolved in some way.
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never actually considered that. Voodoo Child is like one of my favorite Hendrix songs, and then it's all on the Watchtower cover. Is on this album, and then he had
Dylan.
Like, yeah,
Dylan. Maybe I've said this on a podcast, but he actually thinks that's the way better version, and we'll play that version live.
That's really cool. There's some artists that do. It's always interesting when like artists like acknowledge the cover is better. The only one I can think of. Have you ever heard Johnny Cash's "Hurt"?
That song, that's a fantastic song.
You know that's a cover of a Nine Inch Nails song, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
And apparently, like, the Nine Inch Nails dude, I mean, he was like, he said the first time he heard it, he, like, cried because he knew the song wasn't his song anymore or something. It's like what he said.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like, Johnny Cash's version is, like, it's moving.
Yeah, it is. Crosstown Traffic is on this album, and then he has like some of his more psychedelic experimental things like 1983 A Mermaid I Should Turn to Be, which is it's a good song. So yeah, it's a good album. It's classic jam.
You can't go wrong with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Any list you can sneak Jimi Hendrix into is usually a good idea. You know, don't overthink it.
We'll put it.
We're
on our third.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to go with the album Tusk, Fleetwood Mac.
Okay, yeah. I expected you to pick this.
And, like, I think I love this album because, like, it's a great album. And it's an album where, again, they could have cut this down and made it just a normal length album, and that album would have been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I'm against bands make like they shouldn't have done that. But this is different because this album is coming after Rumors, and Rumors is a perfect album. So what are you're never going to like live up to Rumors. So what do? They're just like got experimental. They kind of got away from what made them successful. And they got weird with it, and they just went to the studio and made just a sprawling double album that covered a lot of ground. And I think it works really well. I actually didn't like this album when the first time I listened to it, but it's really grown on me. But it's like crazy how good this album is and how different it is from Rumors, which is one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah. I haven't listened to too much of Tusk. But yeah, I saw it come up on those lists, so I was like, oh yeah, so Fleetwood Mac, a good Fleetwood Mac double album is gonna end up on Noah's list
for sure. Song Tusk. Have you listened to the song Tusk?
Yeah, I think I've heard that song.
Pumps me up. Great driving song. I'm like slapping the steering wheel. I'm speeding. You know.
Yeah, I need to revisit that album specifically. All right. My third is London Calling by The Clash.
Hell yeah. This is also on my list.
Yeah, we've talked about this album before on this podcast, I'm pretty sure, but it's just great. And like, this is another one where there's like you were saying, there's no, I think you've said no skips on it. There's no skips. Not a single skip on this album. Even like, honestly, the less popular songs I almost like more. In some respects.
I don't even know like what the less popular songs are.
That's true.
Like when I listen to this. Like London Calling's obviously their biggest hit, and Train Vane's obviously the best song on the album.
Yeah. Yeah, those, but I always think of like those two and like Spanish Bombs and like Lost in the Supermarket, those four I think are like in my head are the hits. But all the other songs, like, I mean, Clamp Down's a great song, Hateful's a great song, Rudy Campbell.
Jimmy Jazz, you could literally say any song on the album. Yeah. That's a great song, great addition.
Even, like, that really short Coca-Cola song or whatever, that song's great.
I fucking love Coca-Cola.
That song's so good.
London Calling is the only song on my list. And I don't know the rest of yours, but and so far I would consider a perfect album, you know. And they're not, again, there are not many perfect albums. There can't be one skip on it, which I called Rumors a perfect album earlier, but it's actually not. There is one song that is skippable. But London Calling is a perfect album. There isn't one skip on it. Every song is fantastic.
Agreed. Hard agree.
It's also the one I probably listen to the most. I listen to that album like every day in London. And London Calling. I'm not that fucking lame. It was just a coincidence.
Yeah, okay.
I was getting into punk at the time.
Yeah, sure. It's very easy to re-listen to that album. So it's like, you know, like, it's, I like Led Zeppelin a lot, but some, like, Physical Graffiti can be a chore in some respects, it feels like, especially when you have like Led Zeppelin 2 right there, you know. But but London Calling is just very easy to listen to.
It's well put. It's the easiest one to listen to, and it's probably Like, it's their best album. And yeah. You can't say that about maybe anybody else outside of maybe, at least on my list, outside of Kendrick. You could argue that. But you could also argue Pimp a Butterfly or Damn.
Yeah.
And I guess some people prefer Blonde on Blonde. Think that's Dylan's best album. That's crazy.
I mean, you would know. I would trust you more than those people because I know the hours you put in.
It's a lot of hours.
All right, that was my third. We're on our second.
We're on our second.
All right.
My number two album is a little old album called A Star Is Born soundtrack.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tell me
like
tell
like,
me something.
Like, it's not that it's on your list. It says at two. That's the surprising thing to me.
I moved it up. It was originally three, but then I did
what?
A little
what happened?
Rearrange.
What happened then?
Tell me. I got Shallow stuck in my head. It was really as simple as that.
Talk about it.
Yeah, it's a good album, and it's got variety, you know? When it's Jackson Maine, in other words, Bradley Cooper, when it's his, like, earlier stuff, it's, like, kind of rock and roll, country rock, loud electric guitars. But it's also got Lady Gaga singing. It's got Shallow, which is just, it's a perfect song.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was that other really good song? I'll Always Remember Us This Way, I think it's called. Yeah, it's just, it's got a lot of good songs, and you can kind of just relive the movie when you're listening to it, which is pretty fucking important to me.
Okay, yeah, famously good movie to you want to live in, you know.
Yeah, a true uplifter.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked. I'm truly stunned. I mean, I guess I get it for you. I think
yeah, you weren't expecting it, were you?
Most people probably couldn't name a second song on it. It's probably my biggest criticism of where you placed it on your list. But that's it. That's fine, you know?
You know, I take your criticism and I acknowledge it. And that's what I'll say about that.
Okay, fair enough. All right, my number two is The Wall by Pink Floyd.
Tomato, tomato.
It's a great album. I mean, off the top of my head, there's not really, like, a bad song on it. I mean, there's, like, the interlude stuff, you know, they do some of that. But it's a great album. One of Pink Floyd's best albums, and Pink Floyd's really good. So there you go.
It's a great album. It's a concept album, kind of lends itself more to a double album than maybe some of the other ones we've talked about. But A Star Is Born is also a concept album.
That's true.
And yeah. Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, Good Kid, Mad City is. Yeah, that should be. Yep.
But mostly A Star Is Born. Yeah, The Wall's a great album. I do think, like, part of me, like, when I listen to it, it is a long fucking album.
Yep, it's 81 minutes.
Yeah. There's like 10 minutes where it feels like a drag, and I can't remember where it is. It's somewhere on the second album, the second disc.
I don't know. I mean, maybe like kind of a...
Let me look.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been a while since I've like listened to it straight through. But in my head, like, I feel like there was enough, you know, I see every time it felt like it was starting to lose momentum, there's like the hits on it are kind of well spaced out, I thought.
Yeah, that's true. Like Comfortably Numb, the Show Must, no, those are back to back actually. I think it's like, man, I guess I'm wrong. I don't know. It does feel long at times, I think, but I can't tell you where. But
it is long, so yeah, I mean, it could just be fatigue. Yeah, no. But, The Wall.
It's worthy of being number two.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Just same as Shallow or whatever. The Star Is Born soundtrack.
All right.
I said the same as.
Still felt like a little bit of a little bit of shade right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. All right. I'm excited to see what your last one is. But we should do honorable mentions first. What were your honorable mentions?
I got a lot. So, Exile on Main Street. The Stones.
Yes, that was also an honorable mention.
Great album. The River by Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I was starting to think that might be your number one.
We've already talked about my number one. It's London Calling.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll move on. The River...
I got to see The River live, actually, when Springsteen toured it, and mm-hmm. It made me like it. It was out of this world.
There's that the Outkast double album, which is fun because there's two of them and they did a double album, but basically like one half is like one guy and the other half's the other guy sort of thing, which is like a fun use of the double album concept in modern times, which is why I put it on the list.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah. Yep. I was there.
Did you listen to that first song on the album that when we talked about epic rocks, epic long songs?
I think I did, but I don't. I'll have to listen to it again.
That song is so good. All Things Must Pass.
Yes. Yes.
Great album.
Yeah, that's a great album. The Oxy. Oh, I looked this up. Oxymoron by Schoolboy Q is a double album. It was one I was thinking about because I knew it was long, but I just checked it. So there goes. There goes in the honorable.
College Dropout and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Speaking of Kanye.
Yep, the comeback. The comeback is real. I don't think we talked about that during the podcast. We were talking about that before the podcast.
Oh, did we not?
People won't understand why I just said that.
Same mistake as last time when we talked about incest.
Different. Very different last time. Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard.
Kanye's in a tough place, it seems.
Yeah. It's only up from here.
Yeah, because the alternative is very dark.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two good or he had more than two good albums.
He had a couple other, I think those are my two favorite, but he had a couple other.
Those are definitely the best.
And then there's one more honorary mention, but is it going to be your number one?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I had another honorary mention that I wanted to throw in here because I saw this happened and I think it's so fucking funny. Okay, Lil B released an album last year. I want you to guess the length.
Who's Lil B?
Fuck Kevin Durant.
Oh, shit. I mean, it's got to be a double album, so 74 minutes?
Very close. It's actually 7 hours.
What the fuck?
I don't understand how. It's 7 hours. Now, there is... This doesn't really help it all that much. I think there are some, like, instrumental tracks here at the end. There's also some songs are parentheses a cappella, which I don't understand why. There's also a university. The last track is called University of Florida Lecture, and it's 2 hours. So it's some lecture he gave at a college, which I don't know why he did that anyway. That only gets us to 5 hours.
University of Florida asked him, the dude that makes fuck Kevin Durant, to come speak at his college.
It appears so. It does appear that happened. But
I have so many questions.
Even with that, that only cuts this album down to 5 hours. So,
all right. So you have homework, Eric. You need to go listen to this and report back.
I will not. I mean, we'll see. November of last year. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, I just thought that deserved mention just for the achievement of just being so long.
that is definitely an achievement of something.
We'll do your number one first, since we know what it is.
London Calling.
Yeah,
we've already talked about it.
Great album.
A perfect album.
Still perfect all these minutes later. Okay. My number one, as you could probably guess, is the White Album by the Beatles.
I have so many thoughts on this.
Go for it.
I mean, it's your pick. You go first.
I just think it's mostly for, I mean, yeah, it's one of their best albums, from like the tracklist perspective. There's just many, many great songs, like While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and I mean Helter Skelter, and I mean the rest of them, all of them, Blackbird. but it's just like, it's so, I feel like it's the most like consequential double album, you know?
Like, yeah.
Is probably one of the most influential, just based on when it came out and who they were, and that's why I put it at number one.
I think, in some ways this is the best Beatles album, but in more ways, it's like, it is the weakest of their like later phase, you know, like after like Rubber Soul, Revolver, Onward, it could be considered their worst album, but it could be considered their best.
Yeah,
like there's a world where they make this a single album and it's the best album of all time.
I mean, yeah, it could have been their best album for sure.
Like if you do like Back in the USSR, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Blackbird, Rocky Raccoon, Don't Pass Me By, Sexy Sadie, not Sexy Sadie, Helter Skelter, and I don't know how you end that album, but Julia maybe, or right, Revolution. Like they could have condensed it and made just like a perfect album. Hell, they could have made a couple perfect albums out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make sense, the album.
Well, that was the whole thing, right? It's like they basically weren't even communicating.
Yeah, that's true. That, like, part of the history behind it is what makes it so great, too, I guess. Man, I love this album. I do, and it should have been in my top six, and that's just me trying to be controversial, and I was wrong.
Well, at least you got A Star Is Born, you know?
That's true. At least it got A Star Is Born. But it also has their second worst song, which is Revolution 9.
You're a hater of Revolution 9.
I am a hater.
People are
it terrified me growing up.
Very polarizing song. Some people love it, some people hate it.
Who the hell loves it?
I mean, there are people who like it, right?
I think probably.
Probably?
I assume so. I don't know why, though. What do you think is the best song on the album?
Oh. I mean, there's like, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, probably. That's like my favorite Clapton solo, which is like.
Did you know the story behind that song?
Sorta, but you probably know it better. What is it?
So, George Harrison, like, brought that song to Paul and John, and Paul and John were assholes, and were like, that song fucking sucks. we don't want it on the album.
I can't imagine them saying something like that.
Shocker, right? George was really good friends with Clapton, you know, and they bring Clapton in for the guitar part in the song, and he just changes it, and it's like, and it's like he comes in the studio and just blows John and Paul's mind, and it gets put on the album.
Damn, that's just like,
I don't think it's credited either.
I don't think he is either. Yeah, I think it's also like, I think that's my favorite like Clapton solo. And he's not even credited on it. I was debating in my head between that and Helter Skelter. It's just like that was a really important song.
Yeah. Isn't it like kind of considered like the first hard rock song?
Yeah, like is it considered one of the big influences on like hard rock and punk, that sort of just like distorted rock. Yeah.
Do you know the story behind that one?
I don't. I kind of know that Clapton was like the super sub on While My Guitar Came to Gently Weeps, but I don't know the story behind Helter Skelter.
So there's the Who coming up around this time too, and Paul McCartney hears the Who and is like, they're like the hot new thing, and he's like, oh, fuck the Who, I can do that. So he writes Helter Skelter, like, because the Who was a little bit more hard rock, you know. So Paul McCartney writes this song in like defense of the Who, or like to like counter the Who. And it becomes like bigger than any of the Who song. Oh, which we didn't mention.
That one came up. I don't know what it is. Quad.
Something. Quad. I grew up, I was a huge Who fan growing up. That album, I can't do it at all.
You don't like it? Quadrophenia.
I actively don't like it. There's like two or three songs I actually like on that album.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
But back to the White Album. Man, it's a good fucking album. There are not many. There are like very little cuts.
Yeah, there's very little. Yeah.
Piggies and Revolution 9, maybe.
Yeah, it's important, you know. Happiness is a Warm Gun is a great song. We didn't even talk about that.
That is a great song. You know what? Low Key is a great song.
I know what you're gonna say, and it's one of your.
Oh, what am I gonna say?
It's not a bad take, but it's just like I don't know why you choose to be a defender of this song.
Have I talked about this before?
I don't know if you talked about it on the podcast, but go ahead.
Birthday?
Yeah, this is what I was expecting.
Birthday is a really good. If you take away the fact that it's a song like celebrating somebody's birthday, which just automatically makes it lame, it's a good song.
Yeah, but the problem is, it is a song about birthday.
minor details.
I see what you're saying. You're but just, yeah, like, the only person I've ever met who's, like, decided to become a defender of it.
I gotta fight for odd things, you know? Your blues, though. God, fuck. This album. Good Night is low-key a really good song. It's a little bit, like, Ringo sentimental, but...
Yeah, no, it's one of the better Ringo songs, I think. It's definitely, I love it as an album closer.
It's a great closer, yeah.
Which is when
I think it's,
huh?
I think he actually wrote that song, which he didn't write all of his songs he sang. Like, he didn't write Octopus's Garden. Yellow Submarine.
Oh, okay. Actually, no, he's just, I don't know if he's credited. But yeah, Good Night is a good song. And I thought I think it's a good album closer. Like when you were saying, like how you'd condense it into one just all timer album, I think I'd keep it as the last song.
Yeah, you're right. It's a great closer. Don't Pass Me By, Rocky Raccoon, Blackbird, I'm So Tired. Continuing the Story of Bungalow Bill. Fuck. All right, this is my number one. Move everything down except for A Star Is Born.
That stays number two.
That stays number two. London Collins gone to number three.
That makes sense. Yeah, that logic, yeah, that makes sense, for sure. All right, well, we should probably wrap this up. What, do you have your list handy? You're fine.
I do. Number 6 is Out of the Blue, ELO. Number 5 is Blonde on Blonde by Dylan. 4, Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar. Number 3 is Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. Number 2 is Star is Born soundtrack by Jackson Maine and Lady Gaga.
What was it?
Can't remember her name in the movie.
Name now too.
And number 1 is London Calling.
Well, that's no shout. Okay. That's a list for sure. It's killing me. I can't remember her name in Star is Born. My list was where is it? There it is. All Eyes on Me by Tupac. My number 5 was Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin. My number 4 was Electric Ladyland by Jimi Hendrix. My number 3 was London Calling by The Clash. My number 2 was The Wall by Pink Floyd, and my number 1 was The White Album by The Beatles. So there we go.
The White Album is the correct choice for number 1.
Right. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't even just put, you know, Allie Maine. Allie.
Allie, right.
What's her name? Sam Elliott. Yes, I'm surprised Star is Born was as low as 2. In hindsight.
Me too.
Alright. Let's see. Okay, are you ready for your fuck this thing?
Yeah, I am. So I got my vaccination, and my arm is really sore because of it.
Okay, go fuck yourself. So, thank you for listening, everyone. You can find us on
So fuck arm soreness from vaccinations? No, my fuck this thing is when anybody, especially our generation, that uses the phrase my person.
What do you mean?
Like it happens a lot on The Bachelor. It's like, I'm just looking for my person.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But it doesn't just happen on The Bachelor.
No, it doesn't. It's a pretty unsettling phrase, you're right.
I don't know if I can expand much more. It just annoys me.
It has some weird implications. We're talking about the implication.
We're talking implication.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I agree. It's dumb phrasing.
This feels obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, mine. I think I've done something similar to this in the past. Actually, I'm pretty confident I have. But this one's a little different example. So we ordered, I don't know why, but you know, our deliveries in an apartment complex can be a little funky, you know, because there's a lot of addresses in one place. And I live in an apartment complex where there's like multiple buildings in like the same kind of area, like parking, share the same parking lot and stuff. And so for some reason, most of the deliveries are just fine, but only the most inconvenient ones get fucked up, it seems like. Somehow, and they delivered I don't know, it was like FedEx or whoever delivered an entire desk that we ordered to the wrong building, and it was extremely heavy. So I had to lug this thing. I had to find it. I had to like run go to the different buildings to find it. I found it, and then I had to lug it like across the parking lot to my place. And it was a mess. And it was, of course, like...
God, that's brutal.
It wasn't just, like, you know, just an Amazon box or whatever. You know, it was this fucking heavy-ass desk in a...
And then when you get to your apartment building, you have to go up a couple flight of stairs.
Yeah. So you talk about arm soreness. I was exhausted. I was, like, dripping in sweat. It was terrible.
Ah, that sucks. Was it raining, too?
Thankfully, we've reached the part of the Portland weather where it's nice every third day.
Ah, know.
It was today.
That feels early.
It does. I mean, God bless global warming, man. I mean, we're gonna beat this rain thing. No, it was like sunny and like 60 today. It's still like cool in the mornings. It hasn't reached that full. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or off, but there's always that one day in like, you know, it's usually like mid to late April where it's like 65 and sunny and not a cloud in the sky. And that's like the greatest day of the year anywhere in the world because you just came out of a 9-month fog.
Yeah.
But we kind of got it this week a few times. It's still cool and gray in the mornings, but like the sun will come out in the afternoons and it'll get the 50s and maybe it might have hit 60 today, but
whoa,
I know,
that's wild.
Like I said, God bless global warming.
Go climate change, you know. We're pro big oil in this podcast.
You know, Chevron denounced the riots. They're good people. I don't know what to
do. Yeah, and they have great opinions on Ted Lasso.
Do they? Is that a thing?
Oh. I don't know.
That'd be hilarious if they, like, their Twitter intern was tweeting about Ted Lasso. Probably. That's something they do.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I made a grave mistake. And I forgot to write down your fuck this thing. So I'll have to remember it by memory.
I thought you were about to say I forgot to press record.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to remember it.
No. Well, I remember your joking one. That's the problem. fuck. Okay, well, okay. So, thank you for listening, everyone.
Stall, well done.
Or make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Noah and Eric Show, and on Instagram, which we may have posts by now.
Maybe.
Now that I said that, I feel obliged to, but I don't know what I would send. We have an Instagram, which is also at Noah and Eric Show. We have an email for it's helpful for setting up accounts with, but you can also send us emails at it. There's noah@ericshow@gmail.com. No, I was thinking about the YouTube channel, but our episodes save now. That's become less of a priority, but we should probably work.
You really stall them when you bring up the YouTube channel.
But we should probably change it over and do the episodes.
Keep hopping in that.
Yeah, the episodes that we couldn't that aren't saved on our feed. We should do that, so keep an eye out for that. What else? We don't have a TikTok, so don't look for us there. We're not on Parler.
We should make a TikTok, create some content.
My only good content idea, which is probably not even a good content idea, is doing a tour of my apartment and pretending it's a podcast house.
That'd be really funny.
But that's all we got. Maybe I have to do that before this episode comes out.
I'll do some of the dances. I can commit to that.
Okay, so we will have a TikTok by the time this comes out. Rest assured. I don't know what else is out there. What other social media is out there?
I'll ramble so you can think.
We're not even on LinkedIn, so don't look for us there.
No, I have it on LinkedIn personally though, but you can add my personal account. I downloaded in college because somebody told me I should.
Yeah,
and I don't think I've used it since.
Well, I mean, that's okay. Okay, so there's the arm is sore. Okay, so that's down. So your arm was sore and then you were like no. And then you said bleh. And then
Eric, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I also don't remember.
Jesus Christ.
And I deleted it off my phone.
Oh, no. Oh, this sucks really bad because I'm going to listen to this while I'm editing it, and I'll know it, you know? Like, future me is going to be so pissed right now.
Oh, wait, I can... Oh, I remember. Okay, I can, like, go back and not save my changes. So I do know what it is. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you try.
Okay. And so your arm was sore from your vaccine because you are now vaccinated. And then you were like, oh, no, but for real, it's...
Something, do you want a hint?
Yes, I very much want a hint.
All right, it's something our generation does.
Oh, my person. My person, yeah. Yes. Calling us potential special someone, my person. Would, like, their person qualify if you're talking about someone else? Or is it just the my person specifically?
I think... My person specifically annoys me, but maybe that's just because I don't hear their person very often.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Saying my person in reference to a person you're romantically interested in, and fuck the delivery person who delivered an entire fucking desk to the wrong building.
Fuck that.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty shitty. That's a shitty day.
All right. Well, the episode's over.